Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating Loving the Moon, hosted by Annihilated Restaurant. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom from mass incarceration through efforts for justice reform in social and in society at large. Today, I would love to continue talking about and having a discussion with Anaya about Dream Safe, which is a program and organization set up to advance and grow African-American ownership as well as generational wealth. Because one of the things we lack is generational wealth and to increase property values in African American community through reconstruction and maintenance and upkeep and improvement to the community profile. And with that, one thing I can't personally wait to have an opportunity to donate and open up an account with Dream Safe. And when time comes for me to open up an account, what's the cheapest account, or not cheapest, excuse me, it ain't not cheap about this project. This is very important. The words are very important. What's the, I'm an indigent person. I'm not wealthy. I wish I had a lot of disposable income. Since I don't, what's the lowest or the most affordable account that I could purchase?
So we have our prepaid account, which is basically where you're going to prepay for...
It calls from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
You're going to prepay for the actual room itself, and instead of getting in with one purchase, you'll be able to... get a discounted purchase for, I believe, 50 auctions, and that is $100.
Oh, okay. I'd definitely be contributing my $100 for an account.
Yep.
And what did that give me access to as an account?
So it gives you access to the auction to get into the auction at a discounted rate, 50% off, and then it also allows you to be able to earn money when you are inviting people. So it puts an incentive on you inviting people that use your invite code. You earn money for every invite.
Okay. I like that. So when I start, inviting my family members to join.
Yep.
And invite my friends and... I have to make sure they list my name as somebody who invited them or recommended them.
Yep, they'll either use a link or your code or click that they were referred by you.
During the pandemic, it uncovered that a lot of Black people do not have access to Wi-Fi. And that's why we participate in education system immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's me personally, I don't have access to the internet. Because I'm locked up. So with that red line discrimination, gentrification, technological gentrification, will I be able to participate regardless of it?
Absolutely. So what we do is we make sure that everybody's account information adds up. And what happens is it won't stop you from being able to get an account. But depending on the circumstance with each auction, there are regulations that you must meet to be able to afford the contract or actually be eligible for the contract. But that does not mean you can't have an account, because we know that our people are going to be coming in and out of different circumstances. Either that means they may not, they may want an account for future purposes, and at that point you may not be eligible right now, but as this thing grows, we'll have more auctions that will open up depending on who the population of people who have created accounts. As long as you stay up to date with your surveys, your account will be considered active. And what those surveys do for us is be able to let us know who is using our services and who's in the platform, and either are their needs being met, or can we make a way for their needs to be met because there are enough people with these same needs. So it doesn't stop you to have your account. Just make sure you have your own email. You sign up with your own email. When you sign up, with basically all your information. Don't let anybody use their information on your stuff. If your address, use your prison address, of course, and we will know who is who. That way, we won't have discrepancies with accounts, because it's basically one account per house. So if there's two addresses on the same house and we have to keep track of that, because we want to know each homeowner. We want to have record of each homeowner and not just people who live in the house, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because it is something that we can individually participate in, but it's meant to benefit property owners and homeowners.
Exactly. Exactly. And one thing that we want to do for sure in the future is be able to allow people who are first-time homebuyers and can't afford the necessary steps that may either maybe be your credit score, or maybe you just got out of prison. You know what I'm saying? Those things, you still want to be a homeowner, and we want to provide you with the capital necessary so that you can be a homeowner also. And we can do that with this tool.
All right. If I'm just wanting to donate, I'm not wanting to open up an account, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a means by which I could just donate, or is there a means by which you might hold a fundraiser or something?
Absolutely. There will be all of our accounts for our PayPal, for our GoFundMe, and our Kickstarter will all be online by the end of this year for donations.
Okay.
So we can just hold another show once all that stuff is ready.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely continue to have more shows about this, because this is something that I strongly believe in when it comes to liberation. And happy Juneteenth, by the way. Sorry to be remiss about that in the beginning.
Absolutely. Happy Juneteenth. So, a day of freedom, and we're talking about financial freedom.
Yeah, and one thing I love about the idea of Juneteenth is the people that were enslaved in Texas had been in slavery 2 years after they were free on paper, but they weren't free in reality, in actuality, right?
Right.
So it's like actual freedom versus paper freedom, legal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between legal innocence and actual innocence. There's a difference between legal freedom and actual freedom.
Yep.
We legally free, but we're not actually free.
Right.
And we get reminded of that in so many ways, but I strongly believe that slavery is an economic imposition. That's what I love about your program and organization, and the way it is set up, is because it's set up to address a problem.
It's to redistribute those dollars. I think people are remiss about how that redistribution takes place. They want to control who's the person redistributing, why they're redistributing, and who they're redistributing it to.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And people want to know, like, where their money is going, who's using it, and they want it to be an actual legitimate feel to it. It's not necessarily just about, like, oh, is the government doing it? No, they want it to be it to come from a purpose, and it's centered around that purpose. That's something that's close to everyone's heart. And I think with us building a company that legitimately takes care of this one issue, which is housing and getting people homes, getting people owning homes, and not just any homes, but not in an immeasurable amount of debt to get into the home, and then now you can't have any equity or no lifeline in your home because it costs so much just for you to live in the house that you would have been comfortable in, what you would have liked to live in, you know what I'm saying? And for the most part, whatever anybody tells you, you need to make sure that you know that real estate is in the eye of the beholder. They don't go look at no, there's no computer calculation. There's no, there is no mystery man behind the wall telling people, oh, this is what a house is worth and this is the guide and this is what we stick to. The appraiser has 100% control, and it's always in the eye of the beholder. And it just so happens when they look at African-American homes, they undervalue those homes so that they can create opportunity for their people to come in and have equity in those homes when they purchase them. And when we tend to buy homes, they tend to overcharge us, and we lack equity in our homes. So now this tool is going to come in, and we really don't, it doesn't benefit us to fix up your home and then put a loan on it or put anything on it. You know what I'm saying? It benefits us when we do what we do and we let it be as if it happened and then it's gone, because that is going to put equity back into the market of when we purchase and fix our homes up.
While I was listening to you, one of the things that crossed my mind is you have a blue book value on cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they came with a blue book value system because there wasn't a way of knowing the fixed value of a car, and dealers were robbing people and victimizing people by overcharging on the sale.
Or your trade-in value, they'll give you $300 for a car that they should have gave you five for, you know, whenever they went in for those trade-ins. Yep.
And they'd turn around and sell it for
$2,500. Yep.
They paid you $300 for a $2,500 car.
Yep.
And, but the blue book value, it's designed to create a buffer to give the buyer some room to turn a profit, but at the same time give the seller a fair price based on the blue book value for them to negotiate from. But that's not done in real estate. It's the appraisal.
You have 1 minute left.
And from that, I don't know if you thought about it or not, but when you were talking, I was listening, and you were talking about the distribution chain of finances and resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how that distribution chain, and when you said that, I thought about how we are unaware that there are distribution models and redistribution of wealth models and chains in effect right now.
Exactly.
That siphon and shift money around in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and in some instances, billions of dollars is moved around nationally, out of the black community.
Absolutely.
And being redistributed.
Absolutely.
And it was making me think about the debtor.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
We'll be getting Reggie on the phone, but he said something. He said something extremely powerful, and he brought it up, and I kind of skeeted over it. But what he was saying was, like, something that we have to really understand, right? And it comes from this fundamental. Basically, every business that you see, whether it's a nonprofit, for-profit, resource center, absolutely any business or organization, community, anything of that matter. Hold on, let's get Reggie back on the phone real fast so he can hear.
Station now.
So what Reggie was talking about was just basically from this fundamental place. Every business, whether it's a nonprofit or for-profit, does not create money. We think, oh, I'm finna start this business and I'm finna get out here and make some money. You are not making money. Money is being redistributed to you. Your customers are customers that are creating a flow of cash towards your business. That's it. The only entity ever in this cycle of capitalism that is allowed to create money is banks. So everything that you see fundamentally is some type of funnel for money to flow through, come through, and get sent back out somewhere else and go somewhere else. That's all it is. That's all we're doing is exchanging money from hand to hand to hand to hand. It's the same money. That's why they call old money, and they call some things new money. Old money, toilet paper is old money. We've been cycling cash flow through companies that create toilet paper for generations. They have created their own nonprofits from these companies through toilet paper or whatever missions that they create. And then this is where you see the non-profit startup that is like, what's that, Red Cross and all these old, that's all old money, right? Exactly. Like, that's all old money. All those things and those funnels were created a long time ago, and they still to this day flow through those funnels. Now, have some chains died? Yes, some industries have died off. Some things have not been as successful as others, but they were replaced, and that's where you get the new money funnels. That's where you get Airbnb and all these different new companies. They built their own funnels of money to direct their flow of traffic, and they create where that money goes. They own where that money goes, and they do it in groups. It's not just one person doing it. They create their own legacies of people, and they funnel all that money to each other, and that's how they become rich. Exchanging money from hand to hand. That's really how it goes.
And one of the things that I hope people would consider and remember is, what is a cyclical financial model,
mm-hmm.
or a cyclical economic model? It is exactly what it sounds like. It's just simply the cycle of money.
Yep.
And what it is the money operation moves around like the ecosystem. And there's a cycle of, okay, you go to the gas station and you buy some gas.
Yep.
Right? And the person that's the retailer that you bought some gas from, he goes on his lunch break and he buys his lunch from a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the restaurant is where you are working at.
Yep.
So you bought some gas from him to go to work, and then on his lunch break, he came to your restaurant and bought some food to eat his lunch.
Yep.
Well, that dollar just cycled around back to you.
Yep. Because then you get paid.
That's a cyclical exchange.
Yep.
Now, but the thing is in the exchange or transfer of finances, right, there's a third person that's thrown in there where he, when he goes on his lunch break, he has to pay somebody to fill in his spot on his lunch break.
Yep.
And that person doesn't take, they take their money outside of that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
After they get through filling in for him,
mm-hmm.
They go and they go back to where outside the neighborhood community and spend that small percentage of money, a small 1 hour lunch break money. They spend that money in another neighborhood. Well, it takes that 1 hour of money out of that neighborhood, out of that cycle. So that money isn't spent in that cycle between gas and food and retailers that's selling to one another, because that individual took their retail dollar over to another community and spent it at bought a newspaper in another community at a corner store, a newspaper, some bubble gum.
Absolutely.
So now they just took that money out of the cycle between the restaurant and the gas station.
And I'm going to point out something that's very crucial in this system. When you understand that if everything that we're doing, all we're doing, right, as a chain is handing money from one hand to the other, when you have a closed system, when you have the ability to say, okay, this is all what we're going to spend, everything that we need is in here, and this is the team, right? And we're exchanging money.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Then what they created is this idea of credit, right? And this is, you got to really understand this. When you bring credit into play of everything that you did, you got to understand these two things. Now, when I'm cycling money, say for instance, we got the restaurant, we got the bank, we got food, housing, the real estate people, and all of the miscellaneous needs, furniture stores, all of that good stuff, right? And we're all in this cycle together. Now we can say, okay, now I'm going to open credit lines for each of these five, or it could be 100 companies. And now instead of spending the actual cash I have on hand, I'm spending credit, invisible money. So what ends up happening is I get to keep the cash that I have, and now I get to spend imaginary money around in this circle. So then I can go to any bank outside of our system. We can't go to the bank inside because then we would be loaning from ourselves. But I could go to a bank outside of our system, and this is how they spend money back in. They say, this is how much money I have on hand, but it's not really, because I owe people, but I owe people in my system, right? So I really don't owe people, because I could take $20 and I could take that $20 across all five platforms and pay off $20 debt. I could pay off $20 worth of debt five times. You get what I'm saying? So we're not really spending money anymore at this point. So what happens is now I can go to a bank and say, well, instead of me saying this $20 went five times around, I could say I'm going to multiply that 20 by five because I'm going to hold it five times and just spend credit. And now I have $20 times five, and that's $100. And I say, well, I need a loan for $100 from that bank. So now I take that loan, and then I disperse that loan and pay the people. Does that make sense? This is how we make other people rich now. And this is how we put money back and grow our money in our own system. That's what banks are meant to do. They're meant to communicate and negotiate deals outside of the system to get cash flowing into the system. Because inside the system, we technically are building up that cash together. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, we've only got like about 30 seconds left.
We got 14 seconds left.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue this. God God bless you on this Juneteenth. I hope you find freedom in your heart so that you can put freedom into the world. I love you. May God bless you and help us elevate our humanity to grow closer together in unity, in love and prayer.
Peace.
God bless you.